Good morning. Today's daf in Tanis is Chaf Ches. We are in Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. We are starting with the two dots by Yom Rishon Breishis Vayihi Rakia. Okay, we're going to be spending a lot of time today with Ma'amados, and if you don't know what that is, it's somewhat forgivable. We haven't had Ma'amados in some time, but the Mishnah here in the beginning of the fourth parak of Tanis went on to describe that there were representatives of the Jewish people from Yisrael, who had special tefillas, and they fasted, and they had Kriyas HaTorah on the week of their Ma'amados. Kohanim are broken up into 24 shifts. We spoke about that in yesterday's Gemara at length. And they're operating in the Beis HaMikdash for that week. So, similar system with the Levim. It sounds like the Levim were also broken up as well. That I'm not so clear about, but that's what it seems like. And Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael were also broken up into shifts as well. Their shifts are called Ma'amados. A section of their shift would be going to Yerushalayim and actually standing over the Karban, literally, physically standing over the Karban. And also another representative group of the Jewish people would be in their hometowns, in their communities, going to Shul and having this special process called the Ma'amados. What was it? So it was fasting, although even though the Ma'amad week was a whole week from Sunday to Shabbos, but they'd be fasting four of those days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they'd be fasting. We spoke about yesterday those four fast days. We talked about what they'd be davening for specifically on each one of those four fast days. They wouldn't be fasting on Friday. They wouldn't be fasting on Shabbos. And they wouldn't be fasting on Sunday as well. The Gemara gave explanations yesterday in terms of why those days they're not going to be fasting. Friday and Shabbos is because of Shabbos. Friday because of Kavod Shabbos. Shabbos because of Kavod Shabbos. And Sunday they wouldn't be fasting. So there the Gemara didn't have one answer. The Gemara gave three different answers why you wouldn't be fasting on Sunday. Anyway, that is the process of the Ma'amados. And what would they be laning? So that also was given to us in the Mishnah as well. They'd be laning from Maisa Breishis. In other words, the bringing of the Karbanos are so important. The entire Maisa Breishis is contingent on the on these Karbanos that are brought. The Gemara brought in the dialogue between Avram Avinu and Akash Baruch Hu, Bray Bris Ben Abisarim. And so therefore, we're reading from Maisa Breishis. Okay, so we start off today with a technical discussion, but it's Gemara, so that's what we do. We have these technical discussions, and the discussion that we're going to have right now, the first discussion, is how you're going to be reading the Torah on day number one, Sunday of the Ma'amados. Okay, so there are two parshas that we're going to be reading. We're going to be reading the parsha of Breishis, and we're also going to read the parsha of Vayihi Rakia. And just so you know, in order to help us understand, so we want to make three aliyahs, because whenever we read from the Torah, it's going to be a minimum of three aliyahs. And we have eight psukim with which to work with. Okay, so that obviously presents a challenge. Each aliyah has got to be a minimum of three psukim. So how are you going to make three aliyahs out of eight psukim? Okay, good. Challenge presented. Okay, good. That's where we're going to be starting off this morning. We are on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. So, Bayam Arishon Breishis Vayihi Rakia. Tana Breishis Bishnaim Yurakia Be'achad. So, first, the Gemara opens up with a Braisa telling us really straightforward that the Parsha of Breishis, which is five Psukim, you make two Aliyahs out of that. And the next Parsha of Vayihi Rakia, so you're going to make one Aliyah out of that. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. Bishlam Yihi Rakia Be'echad Tlasa Psuke Havei. So good. So I understand Yihi Rakia is three Psukim. I understand how that makes an Aliyah, because an Aliyah is a base minimum of three Psukim. That part's easy. Ela Breishis Bishnayim Hei Psuke Havyan. But meanwhile, the Parsha Breishis is five Psukim, and that's a problem. Vitnan or Tanya. And we learned in the Breisa Kori B'Torah Al Yivchos Migimu Psukim. You know that you can't have an Aliyah less than three Psukim. Okay, good. So now, a challenge presented. So what are we going to do? So the Gemara is going to give two solutions to this problem, and it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Dolek. So Shitas Rav is that what we're going to do, is that we're going to repeat. Doleg literally means to skip, but over here, skip backwards. So that means to say is that what we'll do is that we'll read the first three psukim of Parshas Breishis, and then what we'll do is the second aliyah, we'll repeat the third pasuk, read it in conjunction with psukim numbers 4 and 5. Okay, should sound familiar. We do something like that for Rosh Chodesh. When we get to Megillah, we're going to repeat this entire discussion for Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Chodesh, because it's going to basically be the same problem. Now, Ushmul Amar Posek. Now, Shmuel says, no, here's what you'll do. You'll take the third pasuk and you'll divide in half. Half of that pasuk will go with the first aliyah. Half of that pasuk will go with the second aliyah. Now, Rav Amar Doleg, my time alone, Amar Posek. So the Gemara says, good. Now, let's understand why each shita rejected the other shita. Why did Rav reject Shmuel's shita? So, kasavar kol psuka de lo paske Moshe ana lo paskin alei. So Rav's of the position that we have absolutely no right to break up a pasuk. The breaking of the pasuk is part of the Mesorah. It's part of the Torah Shabbat Peh. And if Moshe didn't break up the pasuk in this manner, so we can't add a sof pasuk in the middle of the pasuk. And Ushmol Amar Posek, and Shmuel says that that we are going to break up a pasuk. Umi paskin v'am Rabbi Chanina kara tzara. Rabbi Chanina kara tzara gadol hayalo etzol Rabbi Chanina hagadol v'lo hiter li livsok elali tinok shabbeis rabban. Now, the question became the following. So, am I allowed to break up a pasuk for educational purposes? Meaning, especially when I'm teaching children and it's their first time being introduced to the pasuk, to give them a whole pasuk, that's a lot. That's a lot of information. So, break it down and break it up into small portions. Am I allowed to do that? So, he said, with difficulty, he said, for the children, I'm going to allow it. In other words, for those extenuating circumstances, so you're allowed to break up a pasuk. But under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to break up a pasuk. So holy Islamid asuyin. So since it's for the purposes of education, so you can break up a pasuk. But outside of that, you're not allowed to break up a pasuk. So this is why Rav would say that you can't break up a pasuk. Ushmuel. Now Ushmuel would say in his defense, sometime am I mishum delo efsher, hachinam lo efsher. Well, Shmuel's counter argument would be really simple. Well, look, obviously there is something called extenuating circumstances. So if there's extenuating circumstances in terms of education, there's also going to be extenuating circumstances when I have an aliyah of five psukim, I have a parsha of five psukim, and I need to break it up into two aliyahs. Okay, that's also called an extenuating circumstance. So Ushmuel Amar Posek my tam alamar doleg. Okay, so we just went over the back and forth between Rav and Shmuel in terms of whether or not it would be okay to go ahead and break up a pasuk. So Rav would say no, Shmuel would say yes, and we just went through the back and forth. Now let's go in the other direction. Shmuel says that what we'll do Rav will say that we repeat a pasuk, specifically the third pasuk. Why wouldn't Shmuel agree with that? So, my time alo amar doleg. Let me read from the beginning of the sentence. So Shmuel amar posek. My time alo amar doleg. So why wouldn't Shmuel allow you to just simply repeat the pasuk? So he says really simple. Because someone comes in late to shul. And now from his vantage point, where did the Baal Kori start? Oh, he started from the third pasuk. So then he'll do the math in his head. It's really easy math. That means the first Ola read two psukim. Oh, okay, fine. So two psukim must be okay. That's going to be his conclusion. It's an erroneous conclusion, but because he came late, so I'll arrive at that conclusion. Similarly, when I have somebody who leaves shul early, so in other words, he'll leave after the first aliyah. He shouldn't leave after the first aliyah. Kind of goes without saying, but I'll say it. He shouldn't leave after the first aliyah, but he left after the first aliyah. And then in his mind, he's going to figure out now, oh, so he just read the first Ola, just read three psukim. There are two psukim left in that parsha. Oh, he must have read the second aliyah, must have read the two psukim. Okay. So Shmuel's of the concern that we have to worry about the nechnasim, we have to worry about the yotzim. Oh, always bothered me, right? That you're making a gzera for people who are not doing the correct thing. Okay. Right, those people coming late, those people coming early. Okay, fine. But anyway, that's the svar behind Shmuel in terms of why it is that we're not going to go ahead and we're not going to repeat psukim. Meisve. The Gemara now is going to challenge based on a brisa, partial shoshisha psukim. So here the brisa, we're going to see this brisa again in Masechta Megillah, and here it gives us the basic rules in terms of how to break up for aliyahs. So partial shoshisha psukim karanosa b'shtayim. So if it's six psukim, now you have the right to break it up into two aliyahs because each aliyah is going to receive three psukim. Vishel chamisha b'yachid. Now if it's a five psukim, you can't break it up into two. V'imarishin kari gemom. So now what if the first ola read three psukim? Okay, in other words, I know when you go to shul on Shabbos, so there's a given expectation of where we're going to break up the aliyahs because the Chumash tells us. But you go back to a time where everything was not so written in stone. And even nowadays, by the way, there are various minhagim in terms of where to break up the aliyahs, right? This Shabbos, for example, there's going to be discrepancies between whichever chumash you're using. Okay, regardless. So back in the day, so it wasn't so much written in stone. And let's say the first ola gets up there and, you know, thank you so much for giving me an aliyah. And he it's five psukim. And he really should have read all five psukim. And he reads only three of the psukim. Okay, maybe he didn't know the other two psukim, whatever the case was. So now what does the next ola do? So Hasheni Karishnaimi Parshazu, So, what's the solution now for the next Ola? So he'll read two from this Parsha, and he'll read another pasuk from the next Parsha. Meaning, because he needs to read three Pesukim. And V'yesho mim gimel l'fishayim aschim b'parsha pachos mishosh Pesukim. Now there's an alternative shita, which is that he's going to be reading three Pesukim from the upcoming Parsha, because you can't start anything less than three Pesukim at the opening of a Parsha. Anyway, the problem, of course, is very simple. Meaning, what was the problem? The next person who got an Aliyah only had two Pesukim left in this Parsha. So now what is he to do? So according to Rav, what he should have done was just simply repeat the third Pasuk. According to Shmuel, now this part's a little bit tricky, because according to Shmuel, what was done was done. But I'll say it anyway, because the Gemara is going to say, well, according to Shmuel, you should have taken the third Pasuk and break it up into two. Okay, and that's the Gemara's question. So, Laman Damer Dole Gid Lid Logu, Laman Damer Posik Liv Sok. Okay, now I understand the question is less against Shmuel, because what do you mean break up a Pasuk? It was read already. But anyway, so Shani Hasam, so the Gemara says, this Lay Ravcha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's different though, because that Brisa was not talking about a specific Parsha that was read on a specific occurrence, meaning that Brisa was just talking about Kriyas HaTorah that's done on Shabbos. So do you have to stop at a given point? Meaning, is there something thematically that you have to contain for that particular moment? No, you're just reading, you're reading the Parshios. Okay, we have a system where we break it up into various Parshios. But you could read more. There's no problem with reading more. However, if you're reading a Parsha because it's specific to that day, the Me'ein HaMa'ora, in other words, it's a Parsha that is specific to that day, so you don't have the option of just reading more Pesukim. Meaning, no, for that day, you're going to be reading the Pesukim that specifically relate to that particular day. And once that's the case, so you don't now just simply have the option of, oh, let's just read more Pesukim. Okay, now you're going to have to give the solutions. Either you go with Rav's solution of repeating a Pasuk or Shmuel's solution of breaking a Pasuk into two. Okay, good. Adkan. Just a couple of interesting points before we go on to the Gemara. Obviously, we do Pasuk like Rav on Rosh Chodesh, so we repeat a Pasuk. When we get to the Gemara Megillah, we're going to be discussing that in more detail. I assume everyone knew. Tosus over here, what a great question. Do you know that every Yontif, so what we do is we take out another Sefer Torah, meaning in addition to laning whatever the Kriyas HaTorah is, we take another Sefer Torah out on every Yontif and we read whatever the Karbonos are. And not only do we do that on Yontif, but we do that in Rosh Chodesh as well. So we read the Pesukim that associate with the Karbon Mosaf. How about this? How about in Shabbos we take out a second Sefer Torah every Shabbos and we read Karbon Mosaf? In other words, Shabbos, there's a Mosaf that's brought on Shabbos. So why don't you bring out another Sefer Torah and read from the Karbon Mosaf? Good. That's what a wonderful suggestion. I know it would be more time consuming, but why not? We do that in every other time that there's a Karbon Mosaf. So Tosus's answer, it's a fantastic answer. He says, because you know how many Pesukim there are for Shabbos' Karbon Mosaf? Two. Over Yom HaShabbos. It's only two Pesukim. And so what are you going to do now? So the two Pesukim doesn't make up an Aliyah. And you can't, meaning as per the Gemara's instructions, you can't just simply add and just read more into the Parsha, because that's not Main Amara, because the next Parsha is Rosh Chodesh. And the Parsha prior is about the Karbon Tamid. So now, what are you going to do? So you can't read just simply Pesukim before and Pesukim after. So you only have an Aliyah made up of two Pesukim. You can't have an Aliyah of two Pesukim. Now, I would... So in other words, right. So why not just repeat one of those Pesukim? Yeah, so I was thinking that. Tosus didn't suggest that. Okay. I think everyone's happier that we don't take out a second Sefer Torah. But anyway, Tosus right here on our sugya. It's the first Tosus on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Okay. We continue. We're on Chav Ches Amud Aleph when we are top of the Amud. Parsha Gedola Koronos Abishnayim B'Shachris of Musaf Mincha Koron Al Pihen. Okay, now, once again, Mamados. So a good part of today's daf is Mamados talk, and I know you and I have never seen it, so for you and I, it's a little bit more abstract. But what do we know about the Mamados? So they're learning from the Torah. So, however, we also know that sometimes they do it from the Ksav, and sometimes they do a Baalpeh. Go back to the Mishnah. I'm going to reread the Mishnah again. Chavav and Aleph. I'm looking at the Mishnah. So Parsha Gedol Karnos Abishnayim Vaktana Biyachid Bishachris B'Musaf Uvemincha Nichnasim V'Karnal Piyem K'Karnos Hashma. Okay, so the Mishnah reads, it's a little bit choppy. The Mishnah is basically telling us that, I'm going to read that again because I want to try to put the pause in correctly. So Parsha Gedola Karnosa Bishnayim, Vaktana Biyachid Bishachris. Okay. So if it's a large Parsha we just come to learn means 6 Pesukim. So you can break that up into 2. And we just learned together that even if it's 5 Pesukim, like the first day of the Ma'amados, that too can be broken up into 2. Question of how to do it. And that's going to be in Shachris. Then what you just saw me do is you saw me put a comma over there. Now, of course, there are no commas in the Mishnayos. So right now I'm guessing. I'm not really guessing because I know the Gemara's discussion that we're about to have. And then, b'musaf v'mincha, nichnas v'korin al-piyem, k'korin al-sashma. Now, we're also going to read the Torah at mincha and at musaf. Oh, let me flip that order around. At musaf or at mincha. But there we're going to do it b'al-peh. We're not going to do it from miksav. Okay. Fine. You liked where I put the comma? You didn't like it?
But the question is, how could they read like the Torah by heart?
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. Right, the Gemara is not going to ask that question, and that is a really good question to ask, meaning Dvarim Shebichsav, E.F. Shalom Ram Baal Peh. It's a really good question. Gemara happens not to ask your question, but good. Just spend a moment validating. Okay, fine. Right, and it could be that's associated with Tefillah as opposed to Kriyas HaTorah. Anyway. So what the Gemara over here wants to know is as follows. Certainly at Shacharis, you're taking out the Sefer Torah. What about by Musaf? Now again, this is Ma'amados, so something we don't do. But during the Ma'amados, so they read the Parsha again at Musaf, they read the Parsha again at Mincha. So are they going to be doing it from Iksav or not? And the question really comes down to where to put the comma. Shacharis for sure. Maybe the comma belongs after Shacharis. This is what the Gemara is about to entertain. Meaning, the way to read the Mishnah is Viktana biyachid bishachris b'musaf kama uvimincha nichnas and v'korin al-piyam. Maybe that's the way to read the Mishnah. And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss this. We're now on the top of Chavches Amad Aleph. So after the heading, Ibayilahu, Heichi Kamar, how do you read the Mishnah? Bishachris uvimusaf korin osa b'sefer, meaning, and put the comma after the word musaf, and then uvimincha korin osa apek, korin osa shma. Good. That's one way to read the Mishnah. Alternatively, Odomahaki Kitani Bishachris Karnosa Besefer, Uve Musaf of Mincha Karnosa Apek, Karnosa Shema. Okay. Punctuation would have done wonders to the Mishnah, and it would have made our job of reading the Mishnah, learning the Mishnah a lot easier. Okay, but that was just simply not done. It was not done in the Chumash, it was not done in the Mishnah. Okay, so Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to look to clarify. Did Tanya we learned in the Brisa b'Shachris of a Musaf Nichnasim Beis Haknesses v'Karin Kederach Shekarin Kol Hashana? So here the Brisa really clears it up. The Brisa says that for Shachris and for Musaf, so we're going to be laning from the Torah like we normally do. In other words, we take out a Sefer Torah and we lane at Shachris. We take out it again at Musaf and we lane again at Musaf. And then of a Mincha Yachi Karin Asapem. And then for Mincha, so what we'll do is we'll read it al peh. I'm Rav Yosef Yechiyachid Yechol Ekros Devei Torah al peh B'tzibur. So what does that mean? An individual? So Ela Kula Nichnasim Mekarnos al peh Kekarnos Hashma. No, it means that they're all going to come into shul and they're going to collectively read it. But the collective reading is going to be done al peh. It'll be done not with taking the Sefer Torah out. You just read it by heart, like what we do with Shema. Okay, so just a simple clarification in terms of. Where to put the comma in the Mishnah? Do I put it before or after the word Musaf? Gemara's conclusion is I put it after the word Musaf. So that means that we're reading the Sefer Torah and the Ma'amados. We're laning at every davening opportunity. We're going to be laning at Shacharis, at Musaf, well, of course, when there's a Musaf, and at Mincha, it's just a question of are we laning from a Sefer Torah or are we laning at Al-Peh? Shacharis, we know it's a Sefer Torah. Mincha, we know it's Baal Peh. Where does Musaf belong? Okay. And we just clarified that Musaf is like Shacharis. Kol Yom Sheish Bohalo Ein Bamamid. Okay. Now, there are going to be occasions that Ma'amados will get knocked out. In other words, we're not going to be learning from the Sefer Torah because there's something there that knocks it out. So, what are those occasions? So, we saw back in the Mishnah. Now, admittedly, it's a little bit challenging to read this section of the Mishnah, but we're at the very next section of the Mishnah. Erev Shabbos b'mincha lo yachnasim nichnasim min mekavod haShabbos. So mincha on Friday, so it gets knocked out. In other words, we're not going to be reading the Ma'amados to Kriyas HaTorah for the Ma'amados, and because Good. Covered Shabbos, meaning we don't want to elongate the davening. People have to get ready for Shabbos. Kol yom shiesh bo halal. Then the Mishnah went on to describe that any day that there's halal. So, and later today's daf, we're going to go over the days in which we say halal. So, ein bo maimad. So, ein bo maimad b'shacharis. So, it's going to knock out the maimad shacharis, meaning we're not going to be reading the Sefer Torah for shacharis. And karban mosaf, so ein b'ne'ila. So, if, in fact, there's a karban mosaf, or what you and I call mosaf, so ein b'ne'ila, so then there's not going to be a maimad at ne'ila. Okay, I hope you're wondering, the Gemara is going to wonder, what about the maimad of mosaf? Meaning, remember, there's maimad at every tefillah. So if there's a musaf, it knocks out ni'ila. Now again, when you're doing maimados, so you are adding ni'ila. So, and if there's a musaf, it knocks out maimad ni'ila. Does it knock out maimad musaf as well? So stay tuned. Karban eitzim, ein b'mincha. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe, and what if there's a karban eitzim? Now karban eitzim, remember, this is now for a select number of families who had a special yontif. Depending on the family and depending on the time of the year. And the Mishnah went on to list the eight families who have nine different occasions in which they are celebrating their special Karban Eitzim Day. And if it's one of those families, so then they're not going to be doing the Mamad at Mincha. And that's Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azay disagrees. Okay, and we'll come back to that. Anyway, the Gemara's question over here is as follows. Ma hefresh bein zeh lazeh. What's the difference between this and this? Now, you talk about succinct and you talk about, right, being thrown into the middle of a discussion. What's the difference between this and this? Which this and which that? Okay. I'll go through Rashi. Tosfos disagrees, but right now, just for the purposes of saying a pshat in the Mishnah, so we'll go through Rashi. Rashi, ma hefresh ben zeh lazeh. Rashi is the third line down. Maishna de karban eitzim, dachi maima de ne'ila, umaima de mincha lo dachi. So why is it that when there's a karban eitzim, so it's going to be docha the maimed of ne'ila, but it's not going to be docha the maimed of mincha? Okay. So on the occasion where there's a karban eitzim, again, that's specific to particular families, so it does knock out, but it only knocks out the maimed of ne'ila, and it does not knock out the maimed of mincha. What's the difference between ne'ila and mincha? That's the question as understood by Rashi. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara's answer, alolo divrei torah, alolo divrei sofrim. Now, according to Rashi, here comes a really exciting answer. So, you know what the difference is? Mincha is da araisa. Ni'ila is da rabbanan. What? Look at Rashi. It's really exciting. So, Rashi writes, Halalu de Beitar mincha kidamina bebrachos. Yitzchak avinu tikin tvilas mincha. Shenema vayetze yitzchak lasuach basada. Lifno serev. Udi ni'ila midivrei sofrim. Wow. So Rashi writes that mincha is a din daraisa. Why? Because mincha, because Yitzchak instituted mincha. Okay, now, obviously, there's a lot there. So the, but again, right now, just to say ape shot in the Gemara, and without, you know, without getting lost in this particular rabbit hole. So the, but Rashi basically saying that, look, mincha, that's an old institution. Right? I'll just say a nice simple pshat. So it's an old institution. I know the Gemara uses the words daraisa. Okay, well, good. Let's say it like that. So as a result of that, so even though there's something special today, meaning Karban Eitzim, but it's not going to knock out the maimed of Mincha, because Mincha is really old and a long-standing institution. Ni'ila, on the other hand, that's a more recent institution relative to Mincha. And so as a result of that, so it's going to be a little bit more pliable, and you'll knock out the maimed of Ni'ila as opposed to the maimed of Mincha. That's the pshat according to Rashi. Obviously, first of all, it's not even the only pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos right here on our daf gives an alternative pshat. But anyway, that's already a lot to work with. Zman atzei kohanim va'am. Tanu Rabban, lama hutzrichu lamar zman atzei kohanim va'am. So what does it mean when it says zman atzei kohanim and the am? What exactly is the pshat in the Mishnah? So amru kishalo b'nei agolo lo matzu eitzim b'lishka. Okay, so the Gemara gives us a history lesson. I mentioned this yesterday or 2 days ago. And meanwhile, here we are in the Gemara. The Gemara spells it out. So we came up with Ezra Nehemiah to build the second base of Mikdash, and so fine. So in terms of capital campaign, that was good. And then try raising money for operations, okay? So anyone has any experience, you know, it's a lot easier to raise money for capital than it is for operating. And so over here, operations, we're talking now about the wood in the base of Mikdash. Okay, so that presents a challenge. So va'amdu elavis nadvum mishalahem. So yeah, basically people stepping up and saying, look, I know you don't have money now for operations. So people step forward and they privately donated, those families obviously who had means. And now, so the Nevi'im said, okay, look, these people are really special people, and because they are special donors, so even though there's going to come a point in time where we're going to have sufficient funds for operations, these donors are still going to be given their special days. They're going to retain their special days. Shenemar, the pasuk in Nechemiah v'Agarolos, he flinu al karban eitzim, akwanim alevim v'aham, la'avi la'beis alkin la'beis avatzenu la'itim zumanim, okay, and the pasuk in Nehemiah basically says that these people are still going to have their special days in which are going to be afforded to them, since they stepped up at a time of great need. So even when the need is not as great, they're still going to be given their special days. The Gemara now quotes another brisa. Ma'yu b'nei gunvi ali uvenei kotze kitzios. Okay, so if you recall back in the Mishnah, as we went through the various families, so associated with family number, let me see if I can get this right. I'm looking right at it. I can't find it. Okay, that's fine. Oh, no, hey, there it is. I'm looking right at it. It's so good. Okay, this is now family number 6 in the Mishnah. Right, if you look back in the Mishnah, Chava Bechamisha Sarbo, on the 15th day of that month is a reference to the month of Av. So on the 15th of that month, B'nei Zesu Ben Yehuda, V'im Ma'em Kohanim V'Levim. So, and together with them, Kohanim Levim, V'chol Mishato B'Shifto, U'B'nei Gunvei Ali, U'B'nei Kotze Kitzios. And what the Gemara just wants to know is, who are these people? Like with the quote unquote funny names. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Okay, so ma yu b'nei gunvi ali u b'nei kotze kitzios. Amru pamachas gazru machus gezera al Yisrael. So once again, we go to a nondescript gezera. I just mean nondescript, meaning we don't exactly know historically when it was, but let's assume that sometime during the Second Temple, shelo yavu etzim lamaracha, that we're not allowed to bring wood, and v'shelo yavu bikurim liyushalayim. Nor are we allowed to bring bikurim, v'oshiva pruzdaus al drachim, and they set up guards that make sure that there was no wood that was going to be transported over to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, kederach shoshiv Yeravam ben Nevat shelo yalu Yisrael l'rego, just like Yeravam did years earlier, right when there was a division between the north and the south, right after Shlomo HaMelech, so Shlomo son Rechavam. So he was the Melech, but then there was an entire break off where 10 northern tribes broke off and led by Yeravam ben Nevat. And Yeravam Nevat set up a couple of places where they could do some sort of avoda in the north, because if the people in the north were Ola Larego, so it would force them to go to Yerushalayim and God forbid create unity amongst the Jewish people. That's his mindset. And so therefore what he did is he made a blockade. So people in the north would not be able to head down south and be Ola Larego. So anyway, so ma'asuk sherim shebedor heviu sali bikurim. So they brought a basket of bikurim v'chifam b'kitzios, and they covered it with figs. V'natlum v'ali al katfeim, and they had the ali. Now the ali is some sort of tool, probably the mortar or the pestle. Okay, good. So I always get that one wrong. Always. And now when they get to the guards, so Amr Lam Lechan Atem Hochim. So the question was asked, where are you going? So Amr Lam Laso Shnei Igule Dvela B'Mechteshek Shel Faneinu. We're taking these figs and we're gonna press the figs. And you see the tool that I have, the pestle. Uva Ali Sha'al Katfeinu. So basically they were really good at smuggling. Good smugglers. And Kevin Shavru Bahem Ichu Mesalim Behevim Yerushalayim. And now once they passed the guards, so now they took all the bikurim and they brought it to Yerushalayim. Okay, good. So basically a bunch of smugglers, but again smuggling over here for the right reasons. Tana Hinehim Bnei Samei Hanitufati. And the Gemara quotes the Brisa in terms of identifying who they are. Okay, good. We've identified who they are. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara gives us another brisa, another story. So Mahim b'nei Samiyah netufti amru b'machas gzera machas gzera Yisrael shalo yivu etzim l'maracha v'oshim pruz dama al derachim. So this story is going to be sounding very familiar. Again, guards at the major roads to make sure that no one brings in wood into the Beis HaMikdash. Kederach shalosh yivu ravam b'nevad al derachim shalo yalu Yisrael l'rego. Same as Yeravam did years earlier. Ma asu yirei chesha b'osu ador evir gizrei hen. So here, what the smugglers did is the smugglers took their wood and made ladders out of the wood. And they put the ladders on the shoulders. And now, when going through customs, so the question was asked, "Nu, what are you doing?" So Amrulahem, I skipped a line. Lahavi goes alos mishavach shulafanenu v'salamosh al katfenu. Ah, so you know what we're doing is that we are taking the ladders and we're going to use it in order to get the birds from the birdhouses, from the dovecotes. Sha'amru mehem pirukum ve'heviyim ve'alun l'Yerushalayim. So once again, we all know what's going to happen now. So the ladders are going to be broken down into wood. And ve'aleim ve'alkayotze be'em u'omer zecher tzadok levracha v'al yiravam menavat v'chaver ne'amar v'shem rishayim yirkav. Okay, good. And once again, they were excellent smugglers. They got the wood in. The wood was disguised as ladders. And previously, by the way, the wood, this part I wasn't clear about, but now I have a chance to clear myself up. And in the previous story, the pestles, those tools, those instruments, so that was the wood being disguised. Okay, so in both of the stories, so they were able to bring in wood right under the noses of the guards. So they, two times where smuggling was brought in as a positive. Be'esrim bo b'nei pechas Moab ben Yehuda. Okay. Once again, we are back in the listing and the days of the Karban Eitzim. So we're on the 20th of that, the Esrim Bo. So this is now number 7. Remember, there are 9 dates that are recorded in the Mishnah. So this is date number 7. On the 20th of that month. That month, again, once again, is Av. Right? Av, by the way, for reasons that I do not know why. So many days in Av that were given. Okay? Av must have been a really slow month. I don't know. Whatever the case is. So we just went over date number 6, and now we're at date number 7. So on the 20th day of that month, that's B'nai Pechas Moav Ben Yehuda. So a question of identification. Tana. B'nai Pechas Moav Ben Yehuda, Hinein B'nai David Ben Yehuda, Divrei Rav Meir. So according to Rav Meir, that's one and the same as David Ben Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi Omar, Hinein B'nai Yoav Ben Sruya. And according to Rav Meir, it's Yoav Ben Sruya. Okay. B'esrim B'elo B'nai Adin Ben Yehuda. On the 20th of that month, so that is the 20th of Elul, sorry. So that's Adin ben Yehuda. And that's the 8th date recorded in the Mishnah. So Tanu Rabbanan ben Adin ben Yehuda, Hinein ben David ben Yehuda, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi Amar, Hinein ben Yoav ben Tzruya. And once again, a machlokas tanaim in terms of who they are, and a machlokas in terms of identifying. Be'echa b'tevish shavu ben Parshniya. And then on the 9th occasion, so Be'echa Betevis, and what did we saw back in the Mishnah? So you can look back at the Mishnah on Chavav and Aleph, it's 3rd line from the bottom. So on the first day of Teves, so Shavu B'nei Parush Niyah. So B'nei Parush came back a second time. Good. Okay. Mani Masisan Lo Rabbi Meir, V'lo Rabbi Huda, V'lo Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara now points out that we are going to be a little bit struggling over here. Because in terms of who is the author of the Mishnah, because Rav Meir listening Shavu b'nei David ben Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Meir, so who came back a second time? David ben Yehuda came back a second time. Why? Because we just learned that according to Rabbi Meir, David ben Yehuda is actually Pechas, and Rabbi Yehuda listening Shavu b'nei David ben Yehuda Shnia, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, David ben Yehuda actually is the one who did a return visit. And he Rabbi Yossi listening Shavu b'nei Yoav ben Tzruya Shnia. And according to Rabbi Yossi, it is b'nei Yoav who did a repeat. So la'olam Rabbi Yossi v'trei tanaya libet Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says that really the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, and there are various reports of what Rabbi Yossi actually said. Okay. Be'echad b'tevis la'ayu b'mamad. Okay. Next part of the Mishnah. I told you a lot of talk today regarding mamados. The next section of the Gemara is going to be dealing with the following. If you look back at the Mishnah, so Be'echa B'Teves, this is now the 3rd to last line in Chavav Amid Aleph. On the first day of Teves, now, Think about what is intersecting on the first day of Teves. So there's this family who had Karban Eitzim. Additional to that, the first day of Teves is also Rosh Chodesh. Additional to that, the first day of Teves is also Hanukkah. There's a lot happening on the first day of Teves. So therefore, which mamados got knocked out on the first day of Teves? The answer is a lot of them. Lo hayubo maimad shayubo halal. So the karban musa, the karban eitzim. So you are now hitting a trifecta on the first day of Teves. So there's halal, but not Rosh Chodesh halal, meaning yes, it's Rosh Chodesh. But not Rosh Chodesh halal, Chanukah halal. Okay? And on top of that, there's also a karban musaf. And on top of that, there's also a karban eitzim for that family. Okay, so you hit the trifecta. The Gemara discusses. As we are now on the top of the Amud Beis of today's daf, Maishna halal, didachi didei, umaishna musaf delodachi didei. So I'm confused. Says the Gemara, says the Amoraim. I'm a little bit confused. Halal is doche didei. It's doche itself, meaning halal, of course, is connected with shacharis, right? We saw that back in Rosh Hashanah in the fourth parak. Halal is connected to shacharis. So what does halal do? It knocks shacharis out, meaning when I say knock shacharis out, I mean the mamid of shacharis. Okay, so because of halal, mamid of shacharis gets out, and practically speaking, it means there's no kriyas haTorah. Good. And, but Musaf, what does Musaf knock out? So you remember what we learned in the Mishnah? So what Musaf knocks out is the Mamed of Mincha. Okay, going back to the Mishnah, that was really the discussion between Rabbi Kiva and Ben Azai. Eventually, if you go back to the Mishnah, you recall, Ben Azai says, Karba Musaf ein b'mincha, Karba Musaf ein b'mincha. Karban Eitzim ain b'ni'ila. Okay, anyway, but Karban Musaf knocks out Mincha. Good, that's what we learned back in the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva ended up agreeing to Ben Azai. So it's a simple question. Karban Musaf knocks out Mincha, meaning the Mamad of Mincha. Shouldn't Karban Musaf knock out the Mamad of Karban Musaf? Okay, that's the question. So Umayshna Musaf delo dachi didei. Amale Ravashi, hashta, delav didei dachi didei lo koshakein. So Ravashi says, well, your question is predicated on a flawed argument, meaning you're simply wrong. Meaning the carbon musaf is going to be knocking out mincha, and it's going to be knocking out musaf. So amalei hachi kaminalach lo litche eladide. He says, oh, no, you misunderstood. I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. Meaning he said, I don't understand. Just like halo, which again is a shacharis event, so knocks out mamid of shacharis. So you know what musaf should knock out? It should knock out musaf, but that's it. Why in the world would the musaf knock out mincha? Aren't those two different events? So I'm like, Ika Rav Yosi de Kai Kavase de Tanya. He says, okay, your question not only is good. Now I understand your question. And now, not only is your question good, I'm going to tell you who agrees with you. And that is Rav Yosi de Tanya will enter the price. Rav Yosi Amar kol yom sheyesh ba musaf yesh ba mamad. So any day there's musaf, there's mamad. To which the Gemara says, what? Maimed demai. Ilim a maimed de shachris atanakama. Nami hachi kamar. So we're not talking about maimed of shachris. So ela maimed de musaf. Didei nami lo dachi. Didei nami lo dachi. What do you mean? Musaf should knock itself out. Meaning there's not going to be a maimed of musaf. Musaf itself is a special event. So ela de mincha. So what the Braisa must mean is that if there's a carbon musaf, so then there is going to be a maimed. But again, not shachris and not musaf, but rather mincha. Meaning, like what you were saying. Like when there's a carbon musaf, so yes, of course, there's no maimed of musaf, but there's going to be a maimed of mincha. And the ela de mincha, and now the way the Gaon reads it, I'll read it like the Gaon, de mincha u de ne'ila. Right, skip a line. U de ne'ila. Meaning there still will be a maimed of mincha, and there will still be a maimed of ne'ila as well. So shmaminei didei dachi delav didei lo dachi shmaminei. Okay, so basically, right, it's a really good point. And not only is it a really good point, but Rav Yossi agrees with you. In the event there's a karban musaf, so then, yes, it's true, there is no maimed for musaf, but it doesn't affect, it's not going to impact mincha. Okay, and meaning there will be a maimed of mincha. V'lisni nami be'echad benisan lo hayabo maimed. Now, what the Mishnah gave us is a day of the year where you hit the trifecta, where there's going to be a halal, and there's going to be a musaf, and there's going to be a carbon etzim. So what was the day? The first day of Teves. So now what the Gemara wants to do is go back to the Mishnah. Look carefully again at the Mishnah. You'll find another day in the year where you're going to hit that same trifecta. Notably, the first day of Nisan. So the first day of Nisan, you have Halal, it's Rosh Chodesh. You have Musaf, it's Rosh Chodesh. And it's also one of the carbon etzim days. So you also have a trifecta on the first day of Nisan. Why, when our Mishnah was looking for a trifecta, has only found the first day of Teves? Seems to be a really good question, but here we get to a fundamental answer. So Amar Rav Zosimeres, Halila de Bereishir, Chalav Daraisa. Because, you know, Halav Rosh Chodesh is not a Din Daraisa. It's a Minug, right? Obviously, we all do it. It's a Minug, but it's not a Din Daraisa. How do I know that? So the Amar Rav Yochanan Mishim, Rav Shimon Ben Yehud Tzadok Shmona Asayom, Bishan Yachi Gomer Bahem Es HaHalel. Only 18 days of the year do we complete the halal, meaning there's a mitzvah to say halal. Ve'elohen shmoni yimei chag, so it's going to be the 8 days of Sukkot, so shmoni yimei Chanukah, and it's going to be the 8 days of Chanukah. That already brings us to 16. Only two more days to which to talk about. V'yom tov rishon shel Pesach, v'yom tov shel Atzeres, first day of Pesach, and the first day of Shavuos. Now, when I say the first day of Shavuos, I really mean the only day of Shavuos. Good. So, and those are the only days of the year in which you're gomer sahala. Uvegola, now in Galus, where there is Sveika Diyuma, so Esim Ve'echad Yom, so it comes out to 21 days. Ve'elohein, Tishi Yimei Chag, so 9 days of Sukkot, Shmona Yimei Chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah. How come there's no Sveika Diyuma for Chanukah? So, right, so it's a really good question. So I can't do it now, but we recently just went together through a Minchas Chinuch, who gives an unbelievable pshat in terms of why that should be. Anyway, not for now. And then Ushnei Yamim Arishonim Shal Pesach, and 2 days of Pesach, because again, the first day of Pesach for the Galus is 2 days of Pesach, meaning Sveika Diyuma. And then Ubeis Yamim Tov Mishal Atzeres, and 2 days of Shavuos. Okay, so basically now it's 18 plus another 3 more days, it gets us to 21. Okay, so that means to say that there is no mitzvah to say Halal on Rosh Chodesh, it's a minug. And the Gemara now is going to tell us a story regarding this idea that it's a minug. Rav Ikla Labava Chazina de Kakari Halila Berish Yarcha. So Rav went to Bavel, and funniest thing in the world, they're saying Rosh Chodesh, they're saying Halam Rosh Chodesh, which means that where he came from Eretz Yisrael. Remember, Rav started by the yeshivas of Rabbi Huda Nasi. He was learning by Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was his uncle. Okay, and he started his life in Eretz Yisrael, and for various reasons, he left Eretz Yisrael and he moved to Bavel. And so now he encountered something really strange. Those Jews in Bavel, they're saying, Halal on Rosh Chodesh, what's going on over here? So, Savrala Avsakino. So, really strange. In other words, for the first time now, he's in a shul, in Bavel, on Rosh Chodesh, and they started saying Halal, and he was thinking to himself, no, stop, right? You get up in front of everyone, make a machal. And Kevin Dechaza Dekam Medalge Deluge, now they skip paragraphs of Halal. That's what we do. So they skip paragraphs of Halal, 2 paragraphs to be specific, but they're not saying Halal alt mitzvah, they're saying it alt minug. So the Tana Yachlo Yaschal v'Mitzcho Gomer, and then the Gemara quotes the Brisa says that an individual, he shouldn't start the Halal, meaning that this should be done b'tzibor, but if he starts, then he should conclude. Okay, a lot to discuss over here. Tosis over here has this classic discussion. When we're doing halal on Rosh Chodesh, which is a minug, it's not a mitzvah. So should we be making a bracha on such a halal? So from the Gemara, what do we know from the Gemara? Meaning the Gemara doesn't say. It would be more misabra to say that we shouldn't be making a bracha. In other words, in the nusach ha-bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, v'tzivanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you commanded us. There's no command to go and say halal on Rosh Chodesh. It's a minhag. It's just simply a custom. So should we be saying halal? Should we be making a bracha on such a halal? So the Rambam says no. Tosus over here and on many other occasions in Shas and Brachas Daf Yudal, you can see on the side. Brachas Daf Yudal, we just saw it in Sukkah not so long ago. We just saw it in Rosh Hashanah not so long ago, right? In the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah. So Tosfos brings in the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, of course you make a bracha, right? And he has a lot of rayas. One of the rayas is actually our Gemara. Why? It's such a good raya. Right? In other words, think about what happened. Rav goes into a shul, and they're saying halal, And because they skip paragraphs, at that point in time, he realizes, ah, it's a minug. Ah. Now, in that event that occurred, when they started halal, did they or did they not make a bracha? So Rabbeinu Tam argues, of course they made a bracha. Because if they didn't make a bracha, Rav would have realized right away that they're not doing it. It's a different halal. It's a minug halal. Oh, it must be that they said a bracha at the beginning. Okay. Now again, that's conjecture, speculation, but it's pretty good speculation. Good. That's one of the rayas for Rabbeinu Tam that you should be making a bracha. As we all know, machlokus between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch says that you should not be making a bracha on your halal of Rosh Chodesh. The Ramah says we do. Okay. And even within the Ashkenazim, right? Some nuance in terms of minhagim. Okay. Anyway, I think we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we're going to go back to the historical events. Let's quickly recap our daf today. In today's daf, on the first day of the Ma'amadus, you're reading two parshiyos. Parsha number one is 5 psukim. Parsha number two is 3 psukim. Here's the challenge: how are you making 3 aliyahs out of that? Machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. What to do? How to break up the first 2 aliyahs? Good. That was the first part of today's daf. Second part of today's daf. So the what do you put the comma in the Mishnah? Meaning, in the morning of the Ma'amadus, you're taking out the Sefer Torah. At Mincha, you're doing it Baal Peh. And what about Musaf? So where do I put the comma? The Gemara actually clarified. The Gemara says, actually, Musaf is like Shacharis. You're taking out the Sefer Torah for Musaf. We went over a lot of the history in terms of the Zman Atzei Kohanim. We gave a lot of praise to smugglers, but specific smugglers. In other words, smuggling for the right reasons, to bring wood into the Beis HaMikdash. And that covered a good part of the Amud Aleph. Detailed discussion about who repeated the Atzei Kohanim. Based on who you're identifying, the sixth group, group number 6, based on your identification of that sixth group. No, I take it back. Based on the identification of the seventh group. So then it's going to impact who is going and doing a repeat performance. Is it Rabbi Meir? Is it Rabbi Yehuda? Is it Rabbi Yossi? Okay, a detailed discussion over there. When am I hitting the trifecta? Where we're knocking out Ma'amados for Shacharis, for Musaf, and for Mincha as well. So we're doing it on the first day of Teves. Why? Because we have a halal, and now after having seen the Gemara, I'll say it, a bona fide halal, meaning a mitzvah d'arais of halal. So that's done on the first day of Teves, coupled with the carbon mosaf, coupled with, for that family, carbon eitzim. So then you're hitting the trifecta. Once you're hitting the trifecta, so then mama gets knocked out for shacharis, for musaf, and for mincha. What about the first day of Nisan? Don't we hit the trifecta over there? So the Gemara's Mechadesh, no, we're not hitting the trifecta. Yes, there's halal on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but that's not a halal that you're gomer. That's not a mitzvah halal. That's a minag halal. And then we saw the story with Rav, and Rav provided for us the episode in which he went to Bavel, they're saying halal, he's wondering what are they doing, because there's no mitzvah to say halal on Rosh Chodesh.